Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
If you've got your Bibles with you, you're going to need those. If you haven't got a Bible with you, it's fine, because some of the scriptures will come up on this screen behind me. But I've been asked to kind of just bring some thoughts and a little bit of inspiration, I hope, into why, as Christians, why as people, we want to be praying the Word of God. We want to be living the Word of God. Would you agree that sounds like a... So part of our whole session, season that we're in is about the power of our words, the power of our tongue. And God is kind of calling us a little bit to task about the words that we use. And He wants to reform those words. He wants to reform the words that we use and how we use them. So we're just going to spend a few moments this morning just looking at the Bible a little bit together. But I believe God wants us to experience His living word this morning. I remember before I was a Christian, the Bible was just something that I kept a door open with. And now I've realized actually the Bible is something that keeps my life open to God. Before I was a Christian, the Bible was something that collected dust. And now I've realized as a Christian, it's something that if I live it, it makes sure that I don't collect dust. The Bible was something which if my brother or sisters gave me a lot of grief, I would pick it up and exercise my right of being the youngest in the family, and boom. And now I've realized that if I live the word, God is going to fight on my behalf. So I was kind of close to understanding what the Bible was about, but I didn't have a right mind around it. And most of us in this kind of well-educated people here. I'll write it on the board if you don't. We're a well-educated people here. So most of us already, even though it's only 21 minutes past 10, we've already heard several hundred words, several thousand words. Because the world is full of words. And as we were hearing some great testimony, I've got them up here, is in our Bible school, it's full of words. We've got about 54 students all come in, and they've come from different cultures, different backgrounds, different experiences, and they've come under the same kind of word. And as we heard before, it's the word of the Bible. It's the word of Jesus. And I just love this reality that even though there's words out there, and we all have them, we've all brought words in the room today. We've brought words if we're parents, we've brought words if we're married, we've brought words if we're young people or old people. We bring in loads and loads and loads of words. And they kind of shape how we think, they shape how we believe, and therefore they shape how we act. But how many of you know that the best way, that the most perfect way, if you like, to live is out of God's Word? The Bible, which as a Christian I believe is God's Word. God's written His words down, His thoughts down, so I can understand them. That's what the Bible is about. And even though there's loads of words out there, and apparently this is a survey, every day, if you're a man... A man going to CVM, I think Cole Beach is there, it's going to be awesome. If you're going to Burgess Hill as a bloke, then you probably know about 6,000 words. It's right, you don't need to use them all now. We haven't got the time. If you're a lady, in which case you're rocking up for the curry, you know about 8,000 words, but apparently that's because you have to tell the men some things twice. I mean, I don't know whether that's right or not. So do the ladies that are laughing. Okay, well, whatever. Kind of the average education, I was with my grandchildren over this weekend, all five of them, and the eldest one, who's seven, probably knows about 1,000 different words, maybe 1,200. Someone that is in formal education probably learns about 35,000 words, but they only use six. Now, really bright, intelligent-looking people like what you are, you know, probably between 50 and 75,000 words. But how do we manage to live with all that stuff going on in our head, I hear you ask? Chad, mate, we're going to miss you. You're just going to have to speak really loudly. But these words, as I mentioned earlier, come from our past, they come from our culture, they come from our age. I mean, one of the things that we have a bit of fun with in our college sometimes is we have a bit of a look around words. So the word gay. Don't all leave. What does it mean? Are you sure? Okay, I could find you 15 or 20 people who wouldn't say that. One of the words that comes out now from youth is wicked. And it's like, do you mean it was really bad? They said, no, it was really great, but it was wicked. Whatever they do, I don't know what they do. So words are really weird. However, what we want to be looking at is this. And I'm just going to start with this with a simple story. It's a true story. It's an event that's happened in time and space. And it's a story about how did God first pray? What happened when God first prayed using the word? It went a little bit like this. Everything was really dark. Everything was really formless. Everything had no shape whatsoever. Nothing was living in its destiny. Nothing was living in its purpose. And then suddenly God prayed, let there be light. And boom, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe that when God spoke, everything changed. And the substance, the very life that was in the Word of God changed everything that was around it. I believe that in that piece of the Bible, right at the beginning of your Bible, in Genesis 1, if you're not sure where that is, find the index and the maps and then turn another page. It's there. In Genesis chapter 1, God prayed the first prayer that we heard, and it said, let there be, and everything changed. Can I just suggest that as a Christian, if you know Jesus, and we're going to give you an opportunity to find out more about him later, but if you know Jesus, God wants you to have the same experience. When you pray the word of God, everything changes. When you begin to pray the word of God, things are created that with our own words we can't create. But when you begin to pray the very word of God, something that is formless begins to take shape. Is that all right? So this is why we need to get to grips with what God is saying and doing at the moment. She's just going to make me laugh if she keeps... Bethan, cutie. So many, the words that we use, we 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 words a day. How many of you want to let them just be more of God's words than our own words more often? So we need to find out, how do we do that? How is it that I can live as a Christian where most of the words... Let's believe God. Okay, all of the words that I'm using are creating something where there wasn't something. That they are shaping where there wasn't shape. They're forming where there was a void. And I believe we have some keys here. A few scriptures said is going to come up behind me. We're just going to look at a couple, one now. In a Psalms, which is one of the longest Psalms in the Bible, it's Psalm 119. It's like got loads and loads and loads of verses. And there's just one verse that I'm going to take out here where it's in the Amplified version. Now, usually when I'm out, I have a bit of a play on the word Amplified, but I've done it here already, I think. I'll do it again. Okay, so for some of you, the Amplified version sounds like this. The entrance of... Okay, you just make it louder. Okay. It's that kind of morning. In Psalm 119, verse 130, it says this. The entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. Now, we know that's true because as Christians, we know right at the beginning, God spoke and let there be light was the first thing God prayed. When we get to grips with the word of God in our minds and in our hearts and in our mouths, something unfolds. Something appears that we couldn't see. Something is there which we... It was hidden from us in the first place, but suddenly the word of God opens it. And it goes on and says, their unfolding gives understanding, discernment and comprehension to the simple. Hands up the simple. So I love the word of God because when we begin to understand the word is powerful, it brings light. It even makes simple people look smart. Thank you, Jesus. It makes simple people look smart. But can I suggest a little bit further that as we begin to pray, speak the word of God, God intended the simple people to look smart. Again, if you're a Christian, you know your way around the Bible. Doesn't the Bible say that God took some foolish people and made them look clever? How does he do that? Because he puts his word in their hearts and in their mouths. And as we begin to think the word of God and begin to put our heart trust in the word of God, it begins to come out of our mouth. So God wants you and I to live a simple life. We just trust in God, but God makes us look smart. Is that okay? Says in another part of the Bible, another psalm, a little bit earlier in that one, that the voice or the sound of God's word breaks things. It shatters things. It lists a whole load of things that it shatters. Physical things, spiritual things, that the voice of the Lord breaks things. And if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus this morning, as you begin to pray out of the word, out of your experience of God's word, things are going to be broken and shattered and things are going to be removed. It's good, isn't it? Even now, as I'm just kind of, okay, Holy Spirit, you just speak, you just speak, you just speak. I'm having a conversation in my head and the conversation is going on like this. Don't say anything that isn't true. So I'm having a conversation in my head and it's breaking my view and my opinion. All I want you to hear, all I want me to hear is what does God think about this? Is that okay? Because my view and my opinion is not important. God's view and God's opinion is important. Another scripture here, again from Psalm 119. So I'm not going to look at all of it. Says this, every word you give me is a miracle word. Every word, remember as people, we know loads and loads of words, but every single word of God, there's a miracle in it. There's a creative possibility in it. There's a potential for change within it. That's why this great testimony of whoever it is, we won't get you to come up. Maybe you should come up and give some testimony next week about, I did this and it worked. If you are the lady, the student that prayed, a miracle happened. Because when we begin to pray the word, you have a miracle in your mouth. Remember, we know lots of words, and some of these words, in my experience and kind of my just observation of people, is they bring us in a place where we need a miracle. We've talked enough words to convince ourselves that certain things are true, but it's not the truth of God's word. We've had conversations, or we've had experiences, or we've read the papers, or we've read social network. I mean, for me, I don't call my phone a smartphone anymore because sometimes it's a bit stupid. It's not a smartphone. And the power of my phone is I've learned how to ignore it. And I've learned how to delete stuff because, man, I want to align my words up with what God is saying, not what social network is saying. When you get stuck, when you need your miracle, when you're dealing with issues of life, man, you don't want to Facebook it. You want to see God's face. Man, when you're having difficulty in your household and stuff is happening, man, you don't want to tweet it. You want to follow Jesus, not follow a bloke. I have no idea where this is coming from. I have no idea where this is going, but we're still going anyway. This goes on in this psalm. It says, how could I help but obey? When we understand that the Bible, the Word of God, is your seed for a miracle. It is the material aspect, the part of God that feeds faith. It becomes our substance, greater than any material experience that's going on around our lives. It becomes the substance that brings God's change, where it brings creative potential. It brings light. It goes on, let that light shine out. Let ordinary people see the meaning. So once we were simple, then we're ordinary. But when you know Jesus, you look smart and you become extraordinary, the Bible says. So don't think that just because you haven't read all of your Bible, you can't live in it. I happen to believe that there are three parts to our Bible. I know I've said this before because I say this everywhere. The first part in this house is the biggest part. And the piece of the Bible which is the biggest is the bit that we've read. The second biggest part is the piece that we haven't read. But the bit that God is really, really interested in and the bit that God really wants to help us with is the third part, which is the bit that we do. We only live out of the bit that we do. So we've had a brilliant experience of God and the truth and just the presence of Jesus in this last 6-7 days in the college. But I'm looking forward to seeing the do within the Bible school and within the church, because we are all living to be reformers, aren't we? Again, if you're here for the first time, you might be thinking, what on earth is he talking about? My words at the moment, I don't know where they're coming from, but they're not coming from the earth. Because the Bible comes from heaven. In fact, the Bible says about the Bible in another piece of the Bible, Book of John, the Word became flesh. And what I love about the Word is it's not just about having a relationship with a book, but the author of the book. What I love about being a Christian, amongst millions of things I love, is that Jesus didn't just write the words in a book, he writ them in my heart. He didn't just author a book, he's turning over every chapter of the book in my life, every moment of every day. And the Bible says that this word became flesh, this power, this kind of creative power, this energy of God, suddenly you could see it and touch it and feel it in the life of Jesus. I think that's awesome. How many of you agree with that? Jesus says about himself that my words are spirit and they're life. Now, in case we didn't know, there isn't anything else left. You can either touch it or you can experience it. That's spirit and life. But what Jesus says is my words, they're full of life. They're full of God's life. They're full of God's character. They're full of God's power. I think that's great. That suddenly we realize that it's not about how much of the word do I know, but actually how much of Jesus am I going to follow? How much of this living word, the word that became flesh, am I just going to yield my thoughts to, going to yield my opinions to and yield my ideas to so that Jesus can speak to me and speak through me? In Isaiah, who was a guy that lived thousands of years ago, he kind of heard from God in a unique way. I mean, Jesus hadn't become a man like he has since then. But he said this, God, your thoughts are really big. They're really high. And I want to know what they are. How am I going to find out what they are? And he went on and said, well, because you dropped them in my life. You dropped them like snow or like rain. Now, snow covers things, changes the shape of it, cleans it. Makes it look pure, and then it melts. And sometimes when we pray the word goes out of our mouths, and things just look different. They look clean, they look fresh, but then the effect of that prayer happens from then. It can take a little bit of time. But then also it says, but they're also like rain. How many of you know that if you went out yesterday morning, you'd get wet really quickly? Thank God we're waterproof, but you get wet really quickly. Why? Because when we pray the word of God, sometimes the words just come out like they came in and things just change instantly. If you're sick here this morning, man, you just need that rain word. Instantly, you're changed. If you're dealing with stuff and if you didn't have the courage or the expectation to fill out a blue card, this morning God wants to set you free. Why? Because that's what he said about himself. I've come that you would have life. Have you still got that? Oh, well, didn't see that there. Turn my way. Look kindly on me as you always do to those who personally love you. This is the wonderful thing about the word, about praying the word. Sometimes we use this prayer and it can sound a little bit, what does that mean? For me, it's talking to God, listening to God, and then speaking what God's telling me. It's not about Jesus saying, I have come so that you would have prayer meetings and prayer meetings in abundance. Now, certainly if we're flowing with God and if we're giving ourselves in fellowship to Jesus, man, we want to come to our times of prayer together, which is why the 22nd of October, man, we want to be there. Why? Because our life matters. Why? Because the word of God in you matters. But it's just as powerful tonight when you're kind of going to bed or you're praying for your kids or your husband or your wife or you're praying over the workplace, is that we're speaking out the word of God. But we're not just quoting scriptures, we're forming with our faith the very things that Jesus is saying about our week. Thank you, Jesus. This is making some sense. Tim Blake, you're a legend. So Jesus comes... And he speaks all these words, and he just, a couple of times in the Bible, somebody came up and they were sick. And it says, by his word, he healed them. That's awesome. I got to say, okay, Jesus, how did that work? And he said, well, how do you think it worked? And I said, well, it just says, by your word. And he said, well, there's enough power in every word to change every situation. We just need to hear what is the word and speak it. And don't add loads of words to it and don't take any from it. Why is that important? Well, because in the chapter about, you know, I can't help it. I'm going to have to come out with this one as well. In the chapter in the New Testament, you know, about the person that runs a cafeteria, it's called Hebrews. That's it, I promise, there aren't any more. Thank God for that. Who said that? In Hebrews, chapter 11, and we looked at this earlier in the year with our heroes of faith, because there's loads of them around. It says that now faith, and I like that word now. Jesus has done absolutely everything so that right now you can trust him, trust what he's done, trust what he's said, and trust who he is. He's also, by his Spirit, if you know Jesus and you've received his Spirit, he can also tell you what to say and help you say it in the right way. I think that's brilliant. So now faith is being sure and certain. So the word, as it kind of, we read the Bible and we pray. It goes on in another chapter. All these chapters in my head. That when we pray the word, and I kind of learned how to do this years and years ago, because I found that my faith, my confidence in God's word doesn't just grow because I read it on the page. That just says faith comes by hearing. So Romans 10:17, I want to read the word and then have a conversation in my head which results in, that's right. Because sometimes I read the word and in my head it's like, you've got to be joking. Or is that just me? Sometimes I read the Bible and it's like, yeah, that's true for everybody else. But today I don't feel like it. And yet what I've learned is actually, it doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter what my experience has been up to that point in time. At that point in time, I just need to make a choice. That's right. That's it. That's me. And rather than having 6,000 words which give me a reason not to be different, I could begin with the first one that makes me different. It's true. This is God's thoughts. This is what God thinks. This is what God has said. So I know, you know, as we cultivate this and do this, it becomes more automatic. But I'm just trying to help us all, because sometimes it's not automatic. We look out over our family and what the words in our family say this, but God is saying that. They both have a substance, but it's only the word of God that will change the substance of everything else. They both have fact around them, but only the word of God is true, and it remains true forever. So it's about choice, isn't it? Another scripture. Oh, Mark, Mark's. It's my crowd leader is gone. Hebrews 4:12 says this about the word of God. It's alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. What does that mean? I haven't got time to unpack all of this because it means a massive amount, but it kind of means this. Whatever words you're living under, whatever culture you're living under that's got words around it, whatever words that you think about when you look at yourself in the mirror of your life, whatever words that you're living under because somebody else has said you're this, you're that, you're that, you begin to pray the word of God and you can guarantee some things will happen. First thing is it will say what is true. It will help you in your mind to land, actually, this is true. This is God's hope. This is God's possibility for me. It will also help you to sort out all these other words. The Bible says we captivate them. These conversations in our head, as we use the word and pray the word, it helps us deal with the conversations which do not produce the substance of faith.
So it's not just automatic. I read the Bible, I believe. No, I need to read it out and make that decision. God, yeah, this is brilliant. This is what God says. This is who God is. This is what God can do in my marriage. This is what God can do in my household. This is God's heart and thinking for my workplace. Man, we only need to go into the first bit, the Old Testament, to know that if you follow Jesus, God wants to bless you. Which means all I need to do tomorrow is say, God, I thank you. You want to bless me in my office. You want to bless me in my workplace. You want to bless the people that are around me. It might feel like, oh, it's Monday. Man, it's going to be the best Monday we've ever had. And then again in Hebrews, this great piece of scripture, when we begin to pray the word and faith begins to engage with that, God is pleased. Do you know that God wants to be pleased with you? He wants to be pleased with me, wants to be pleased with us. So the Bible gives us a clue. Without faith, it's impossible. But how many of you know that God makes the impossible possible? Which is why not only does he give us his word to believe in, but he also gives us the person of the Holy Spirit to help us to believe in it. Because there are some scriptures, as I said, I read it, it's just like, I can't believe that. And I begin to pray, and suddenly the Holy Spirit releases faith into my heart and into my mind so that I can release that. Sometimes I just have to meditate. Meditation is a word which whole load of new ageism was stolen. But actually, God invented meditate. Basically means that we form the word in our mouths and let it roll around and then we swallow it into our hearts. We receive it, if you like. And then a few moments later, or maybe the next day, we bring it up again into our heart and into our mind. And we roll it around our mouths again and we get more life out of it. Remember, the word is spirit and it's life. And we receive much more of the character and the nature and the faith out of that. And then we receive it again. And then maybe an hour later, up it comes again. In other words, I think God wants us to live a little bit like a cow's stomach. Because that's the best kind of comparison I can think of. Which is, we might not have much grass, but man, we suck every bit of juice out of it. We might only have a couple of words about destiny and future and what are God's thoughts. But man, you suck every bit of life out of that and it'll keep you going. Hallelujah. If you want to find out, because I've mentioned this several times already and Pastor Jonathan did, you might be here this morning and all you know is what you know. That might sound a bit, all you know is what you've experienced. Let me tell you, there's an alternative. It's Jesus. Because he knows what we don't know. And he's answered what we can't answer, and he's resolved what we can't resolve. And he did that by taking on the form of flesh, though the very word, that creative power, the thinking in human form came, his name was Jesus. And he died so that I can live and so that you can live. Amen. You might not think there's an alternative. Maybe you just had a medical prognosis or a diagnosis and you've got words and you've got prescriptions and you've got tablets. Well, let me tell you, God's got something to say about that. Maybe you've just fallen out with your best friend. Maybe you're sitting there and you don't think you've got any. God's got something to say about that. It might be that in the mirror of life this morning, man, you saw an ugly, stupid person looking back at you. Well, God's got something to say about you. And it's not that. It may be that, you know, it's first kind of week of the month and, you know, last month, you know, you looked at the words on your bank balance and it didn't add up. And there was a lot of red and not much black there. Well, let me tell you, God's word has something to say about that too. So let's all stand up, shall we? There is loads more that we could talk about praying the word, but I think we've got enough to respond. Is that okay? So there's just a couple of things that God put in my heart. First one is this. We're going to break bread in a moment. Why did we do that? Well, because Jesus did it first. He had an occasion with his wider family, people that had spent time with him, and he knew kind of what was going to be happening. He said, I'm going to do this evening. on the very, very night where the whole world is saying death, punishment, separation, betrayal, I'm saying something else. And it's life, hope, healing, destiny. He said, when the whole world thinks they've won, I'm breaking this to say you can never win because I am the victor and the victory. When the whole world was saying we're shutting down this man and his message and his potential for hope and no one ever will have a relationship with God because we're kidding God, Jesus was saying you can't because I am the eternal one. And even though I might stay on a cross, man, even though you put me in a tomb, you haven't killed me. Because you can't. So it may be that there's some people here today, you've just come on your own, you've come with a friend. Jesus said this in a great piece of the Bible. This is Pastor Connie's favourite, the Gospel of John. It says, my words have already made you clean. There's a potential there to be clean, to be right with God, to be whole in front of God, who knows how to know what wholeness looks like. He makes a good judgment, if I can use that word. He knows what wholeness looks like. Jesus came so that everybody could be clean before God. But to do that, we need to come to Jesus. And we've got the table out here. We're going to celebrate a communion, if you like, which is our common union with God, or we're going to break bread together. But the first thing I want to invite people to do in a moment is, if you want to find out more about how can I be clean with God, how can I have this relationship with Jesus? How can I become a follower of Jesus and not just a follower of words? If you want to do that, I'm giving you an opportunity to do that in a moment. The second thing that kind of God spoke into my heart is you might have heard a few things already in the last 20 minutes. It's actually like, okay, well, I just don't read my Bible. Well, the Bible reads you. Smith Wigglesworth, who was this dodgy plumber from Bradford, out in a crazy... Man, I tell you what. He said he read his Bible for 15 minutes every quarter of an hour. Because he knew it was God's thoughts. He knew it was... Do you understand what I'm saying there? And it might be for some of you, you just kind of... For you, the Bible's just dry, it's boring. Well, it's not. It's got life in it. It fuels our faith. So I'm going to invite you in a moment. If you just want to come and make this kind of decision, okay... Forget what's happened. From today, I'm just going to let God speak to me afresh out of the Bible. I want you to come forward as well. And we're going to break bread with you guys. Okay, so the Connect team, hopefully they know what they're doing. We have asked them. And then thirdly, for those of you that know Jesus already, you're a Christian, you know, you're part of the congregation here, or maybe you're not, you're visiting, but you know Jesus. We're going to break the bread in the rows. Okay, because that's kind of what we're going to do this morning. We don't always do it like that. But as you do that, I want you to pray the word over each other. Don't just say, here's the body of Christ given for you. And don't just say, here's the blood of Jesus given for you. But begin to pray. What does that mean? It says in this supper, it's called the Last Supper, that the night that he was going to be betrayed, it says Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. He didn't just give thanks to people in the room. He gave thanks to his Father that had sent him and said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're remembering Jesus right now. He's the living word. And it says, after supper, he took the cup, said, this is the blood of my new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. So there are some things that we need to remember. First thing is, if you're a Christian, you have relationship with God. If you're not a Christian, you can have relationship with God. This also reminds our physical body. Jesus is our healer today. And Isaiah tells us that. He's taken our infirmities and he's removed our sicknesses. He's also our hope and our refuge and our strength. He's also our great deliverer and our victory. He is also our author and perfecter of faith. We sang it at the beginning. It's true at the end. He's also the cornerstone of our life. He's also the one who speaks to me. He's also the one who reminds me. He's also the one that will go with me. So maybe for some of you, as you receive the bread and the wine, you just want to affirm that in prayer. Yes, today, Jesus is my victory. Yes, today, Jesus is going with me. Don't just say, here's a piece of bread. If it's coming towards you and it's like, actually, I've got this pain in my leg, but I'm too afraid to say. Faith looks at fear and says, you're not staying. Amen. Faith looks at fear and says, ciao. Shut the door behind you. Because faith is God's word, which never changes. So, Father, I want to thank you right now that as we break bread, your life is going to flow afresh in a new way. Father, I thank you that we are on the receiving end of your grace, on your mercy right now. I want to thank you for anybody in this room that maybe they just want to find out more about Jesus. Really speak to them right now. And if they've got the time, let them come to discover after this. If I haven't got the time, just bring them up the front so we can have a chat in a few moments about how to know Jesus and how to be clean before you and before one another. I pray for everyone that's just finding the Bible kind of boring or dreary. Reignite their spirit. Reignite their hunger. Reignite them in their heart, a longing to hear your voice and your word every day. Father, for everybody else, I thank you for healings right now. I thank you for people just getting their lives sorted out. Because your word says, where we're met, you're in the middle. So I thank you for that in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So again, as we're going to break bread, if you just think, yeah, actually, I just need to kind of stir up this faith, this longing to read the word again, come out the front. We'd love to pray with you and agree with you. All right? You can come over here where Pete and Chad is. If you want to find out a little bit more about Jesus, then I'd love to talk with you. And there'll be others up here that will talk with you as well. Everybody else, you can kind of stay where we are because God is just as good to heal people in a row as he is at the front. Is that all right? Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.